Welcome to First Light Church. Today's sermon is, The Lord is Calling Us to the Cross.
Father God, as we spend this next little while together, I pray that you open our hearts and minds to hear your Holy Spirit speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's a little glimpse of the city that we live in, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that over the next 3 hours. So sit back, relax. We're going to be here for a while. Thank you. Okay, well, I was one of the few people that you will meet actually born in Perth. Anybody else here born in Perth? Oh, yeah, a few of us. Yeah, okay. I was born in 1949, if you can work out math. Married in 1972. Was an architect, trained as an architect, interior designer for a while. Lived in Adelaide, lived in Sydney, lived back in Adelaide. Worked for Youth for Christ for a number of years, if you know about that organization. During that time, we had two sons, Matthew and Nathaniel. Matthew is 32, Nathaniel is 30. And then we came back to Perth, and I was a pastor at Mount Pleasant Baptist Church for close to 14 years, and then I was involved in a church plant in Mount Hawthorne for a couple of years, and as Richard said, I was a pastor at Claremont Baptist Church for a number of years. I still am a member of that church, but we have been in China now for 6 years. We work as volunteers for a company called Bless China International. You may hear me say BCI, Bless China International. And we were there for 3 years. I was involved in pastoral care. We had at that time in 2008 about 80 expat staff and around about 180 local staff in 8 towns all around the province of Yunnan. Yunnan is one of the poorest, if not the poorest, province of China. And we lived there 3 years, then we moved south to the poorest part of the poorest province of China. So we moved from Kunming down to Wenshan. And so, Dan, if I might have a picture of Wenshan. This is the city that we live in. and this is the building that I live in. No, I know it doesn't work. I was just wanted to make sure you were with me. That's right. Technology can't do everything. I can't reach up there. So anyway, your left. It's left. Yeah, that those yellow and white buildings. We live in one of them, and so the city looks like it's surrounded by. Well, it looks like we sit in a volcano. There's a ring of mountains all the way around. And the city is about 10 kilometers that way and about 8 kilometers that way. And it's a beautiful place. Usually we have awesome weather, 9 months of blue skies and around 28 degrees in the day, 15, 18 at night. And then suddenly in November, winter comes over about, it goes from 30 degrees down to 5 in about 5 days, but drops. And then it's cold till about middle of February, and then suddenly it goes from winter to summer. So it'll go from 5 to 30 in 5 days, and then we're back to summer again. And so it really is a beautiful place. Two of the people that I work with were invited by the government of Yunnan to move to the city of Wenshan, which is where we live now, to help with orphan prevention. As you know, a lot of Chinese families are only allowed to have one child. And many families have a child who is disabled in some way. For some reason, and we don't really understand why, in our city, a lot of children have cerebral palsy. Maybe because of water pollution, fertilizer, because it's a very agricultural area. But we have too many children that have CP. And so families will often have a child with CP, and so if they hand that child over to the orphanage, the government allows them to have another child. And so often children are literally dumped at the orphanage, partly because of face for some families, partly because they don't know how to cope with a child with CP. And so the government asked us, would we go down there, knowing that we are a Christian organization, to go down to Wenchan and actually help close the orphanage and put children into foster homes. And we had a number of families within local churches who were very willing to take these children. And so a couple of women went down there in 2010. Janice and I moved down there in 2011 to help with pastoral care administration and help affect some of the changes that were about to come to our city. But I want to tell you more about a couple of people that we met in the first one. Thanks, Dan. This lady, her name is Chung Hui. Chung Hui is from a minority group. She was fortunate enough to have a primary school education. She was walking with her mother in a local market one time, and an American couple, husband and wife, that had just moved into the town, wanting to reach out to her minority group, heard her and her mother speaking the language, their local dialect, Buhueshua. And so Brant and Melanie said, are you with this particular people group, and in her language? And she was just spun out. It's a bit like when we speak to Chinese people in Perth or even in Wenchan where we live, and often Chinese people, we find it quite humorous that Chinese people in our city, when they walk past us, 5 meters past, they'll say hello. After they've gone past us, right? I think, what is that? Why do they do that? But anyway, we'll turn around and say, ni hao. Wow, and they get such a shock. And then they giggle and then run away. Don't say hello if you don't plan to stop, right? So, anyway, where was I? Anyway, yeah, Chung Hui. Her and her mum are talking, and Brant and Melanie hear this girl speaking, and they say, wow, you're from this, I'm not going to say the people group because I don't want to identify them too much, but she said, yes, we're with this minority group. And Brant says, I've been looking to meet people like you. We are here, we believe that we are called here to help your people group. We want to record your language, we want to have it written down. And Chung Hui was just totally spun out by that. And so Brant and Melanie said to her, would you become our language helper to actually help us come to grips with your language? They had already were quite good at Putonghua. And so Chung Hui said, yes, I'm very happy to do that. And so she started coming to their home. They heard a little bit about her and so asked if she would actually be their house helper. Not so much for the work that she would do in the house, but that she would be there all day. So they could pick up the language, they would pay her more, but also have an opportunity for her to see how an American family would relate. She would sit with them for Bible study. She was listening to worship music. And guess what? What? What happened? She came to faith. She became a believer. Excuse me. Not only that, thanks, Dan. Her whole family came to faith. Her husband is the dude with the black shirt, and his name, if very rough pinyin, is Six Handsome or Liu Shui. Okay. He says he's very handsome, but it's not the same translation of Shui, okay? But he wants to hang on to that. So he says, I'm 6 times handsome. Okay, whatever. If it works for you, that's cool. So my name in China is Da Si Gua. Long story short, but anyway, I was wearing red shoes one day when I was pastoring a church in Singapore. And they called me Da Si Gua Jiao because I had these red shoes and I wear size 48. Don't look at my shoes. Okay. But they called me Big Watermelon Feet. And so big watermelon is something I can easily write in Hanzi. And so I use that as a joke. But people that we know in Wenchan, we'll often hear when we're walking along the street, "Hey, Dazzy Gua!" Or, "Si Gua Nai Nai! Ni Hao!" So, my wife. So, for those that don't speak Putonghua, "Si Gua Nai Nai" means watermelon grandma. Okay. Anyway, so Cheng Hui and Six Handsome, Liu Shuai, now lead a home church. And that church has grown from about 6 to over 40 in the last 3 or 4 years. They do amazing work. Cheng Hui is now involved with SIL doing Bible translation work. And she is the leader in our town for doing some Bible translation work. Because a young couple heard God calling them to the cross, it just blew them away. And not only them, but their extended family. Both their families have come to Christ and just doing amazing things in our town. Because Cheng Hui comes from a very poor village, her dream has always been to establish schools in the villages of her minority people. And so even though in Wenshan, it's a small city of around 300,000 people, just 10 kilometers away on the other side of those mountains, there are villages with mud floors, no running water, one toilet for the whole village, which fortunately is about a kilometer away. But they have cable TV and mobile phones, right? And they've got their priorities. But it's very poor. And a lot of the schools simply do not have teachers. And so we are, I'll tell you a bit more about one of our dreams in a little while, but Cheng Hui's dream is to see schools established in each of the villages of her minority, that they would come to know more about life, but certainly come to know Jesus. Now is a lady called Xiaofen. Xiaofen is from a different minority group. She had little education, maybe 2 years, but she was from a very poor family, who are farmers, and so she knew nothing other than hard work through her whole life. But she was married to Xue Zhong, and great delight, she was pregnant with twins. And what a blessing to be pregnant with twins. It was a great joy for her, for her village, for her family, and great hope for them. The daughter was born first, and she was breech, which means she was born feet first. And so the local midwife birthed this little girl as she would by pulling on her legs to pull her out. Unfortunately, in the process, her twin brother died at birth. Fei Yan is the daughter. If you know anything about Chinese families in rural communities, they have a backpack or a chest pack and they carry their babies everywhere. They don't walk or crawl very much. They don't have an opportunity. They're carried. Excuse me, they're carried the whole time. What they didn't realize that during the birth process, Fei Yan had both her hips dislocated by having her legs pulled first. And so because she was carried for so long and just put on the ground, no one realized that she couldn't walk, she couldn't stand. And so, thanks, Dan. So this is Fei Yan when she's 2. Yeah, there's the Sigua. Bushawa. So this is Fei Yan on the floor of her house, which is dirt, and we've been to her home. And she was 2 years old. And two American guys that were wanting to reach out to Xiaofen's minority group came into her village, and they just knocked on doors, and then they met Xiaofen and Fei Yan and Xue Zhong. And as they got talking, they told Xiaofen, the mum, that BCI had just opened a physical rehab center in the town, which is only less than 30 kilometers away. And so Xiaofen's eyes lit up, thinking, wow, is there a possibility there could be hope for my daughter? And so we rented an apartment for her and a number of other people so that when they came into the city, they had somewhere to live. They're very poor. And so Xiaofen brought her daughter to the rehab center every morning. For our team, who were being trained by a woman from Tennessee, who has a physiotherapy practice, who gave a number of years to come and actually train people in physiotherapy. She came and Catherine was training people, and so we had staff that was starting to get some ideas about how to help people, and so they started helping Fei An. Xiaofen was blown away by the fact that her treatment of her daughter was for free. And so Xiaofen said, I want to do something. And so our rehab center, which is an apartment on the 17th floor, is covered with foam rubber tiles because children, because they have CP and other muscular problems, are often falling over. And so we wanted to make their fall as comfortable as possible. And so we covered the floor with foam. And so Xiaofen volunteered to clean and disinfect the floor every night after all the families had gone. And so Xiaofen, as she's sweeping, is listening to the staff pray for her and all the other parents, worshipping, singing, reading the Bible. And Xiaofen's hearing all this. And she's going back to her village and telling Xue Zhong, you can't believe this. This is what I'm hearing about Jesus. Now, this is Xiaofen, who's not a Christian, evangelizing her husband, right? And so who is this God who is a happy God, who is a friendly God, who is a God who is reaching out to us? When, if you know anything about Chinese culture, it's keep the gods away. I don't want them to see me. I don't want to be on their radar. And if you know anything about Chinese homes, they'll often have a step where you actually step into the house. That's to keep all the slithery gods out. And then often there will be a mirror above the door. That's to shock all the ugly gods so they don't... They're so ugly. It's true. They're so ugly they won't come in, right? And so there is fear about these gods. And so to hear that God loves, what are you talking about? God loves. This is totally new to these people. And Xiaofen and Xue Zhong fell in love with Jesus, and we were there Easter 2011 before we had moved to see and hear Xiaofen come to faith, and then on Easter Sunday watch her and her husband be baptized. It's just amazing. Hallelujah. Thanks, Dan. And here is Fei An. She's now walking. She is 7. She's in grade 2. And she still has to wear these fiberglass splints on the back of her legs because, you know, like a lot of little girls, like your beautiful two girls, I was watching them. One of them's the fruit monitor. Right? No one's touching this fruit, right? but little girls often, when they're young, they go up on tiptoes everywhere. Well, Fei An is still on tiptoes, so these splints are actually forcing her heels to the ground so that she can actually walk heel first. And she still has a way to go, but praise God, she is healed, she is walking, and she loves Jesus. Why? Because a physio came to town and taught some people how to give physio. We need physiotherapists. We need speech therapists. We need occupational therapists. You know somebody. You're looking around at somebody, yeah? I live by faith and subtle hints, so who should I be looking at? Right, right. Oh, no, okay, there's fingers going everywhere. We need behavior therapists, we need medical staff, we need dentists, we need opticians, we need teachers. Not so much to do the work, but train local people to do the work. It's about equipping Chinese people to work with Chinese people. Unfortunately, I've met a number of expats who think they are experts. And we are not. It's just that we have some skills that we're willing to share and we are willing to go. That's it. So it's to come, as Anna was saying, to walk humbly before our God. Wherever we are, it's not that people serve us, it's that we would go and serve. And that's a paradox about being a Christian, that we are children of the King, but we are called to serve. So we are servant princesses, we are servant princes, not to be served, but to serve. And so we need people that have a heart to serve, who are willing to go the second mile. Well, Fei Yan is walking. Xue Zhong, who used to have a major gambling problem and drinking problem, through coming to faith, now has a steady job and is involved with his local church. But it doesn't end in a good way, because Xiaofen had no life outside of the village. She didn't know anything other than this little village. And so she came to Wenshan, and the bright lights of the world grabbed her attention. We were training her to be a leader in the rehab center. But about 9 months ago, Xiaofen decided to leave her husband and her daughter to live with another man. She moved to another city and still has a little bit of contact with her daughter. But please pray for Xiaofen. This is a woman that we believe God's hand is on her, that she has an amazing rapport, ability. She had no education, but a very, very intelligent woman. And God, I don't think, is finished with her yet, and certainly does not want to let her go. So I pray, please, that you would think of her when you are praying. Thanks, Dan. The church in China is growing. It's growing rapidly. When we first came to Wenshan, we heard about a couple of home groups, home churches. Now there are well over 30. In our city, in Wenshan, we are a long way from Beijing. We cannot get maybe further south and west of Beijing. Beijing is about a five-hour flying time. And so hear this. In our city, we have two registered illegal churches. Two registered illegal churches. This is how pragmatic the Chinese are, right? Whatever works. And so the religious police said to the leaders of the local church, don't make our job difficult for us, right? You do what you have to do, we'll do what we do, but you know, just try to keep harmony. And so last year, around about October, that church opened a new church, opened a new branch, and they invited the religious police who came to the opening of the second illegal church, right? So this is the kind of climate that we work in, and it's blossoming, and people are coming to faith, and many people are asking questions. And you know what? It's easier to be a Christian in China than it is here in Perth. Chinese people, for the ones that we've met, are totally blank page as far as Christianity goes. They have no prejudice. They have a lot of questions. And so there's a lot of opportunity, if you have a heart, to reach out to people and certainly to teach people the Bible. That's a real need in the local church. A lot of the pastors, men and women, have great hearts for God but don't have any theological training. So there's great opportunity for people to come up and teach local pastors and church people about God's word. Well, God is calling people to the cross, whether that's in China or whether that's here in Perth. Have any of you heard of a man called Henry Blackaby? I see a couple of notes. Well, don't get too upset. He's never heard of you either. So you got to keep it in perspective. He wrote a book called Experiencing God. Thanks, Dan. And he wrote about seven principles. Next. Firstly, God is at work around us. Can we go back one? God is always at work around us. Do you believe that? God is always at work around us. Yeah, absolutely. No question at all. Secondly, God wants a love relationship with us that is real and is personal. Okay? Isn't that why Jesus came to us? That we could have that relationship. So God is the first missionary. He sent the first missionary. God wants a relationship with each of us, with people that don't know him. Isn't it a wonderful thing about God that God answers the prayers of people who are not Christian? Isn't that how we came to faith? Yeah. God hears the prayers of people who don't know him. because he wants each of us to know him, and he's willing to hear if we call out to him. God hears our prayers whether we believe in him or not. That's how most of us come to faith, by reaching out and praying, God, if you're real, show me who you are. God wants that relationship. He pursues us. It's not our idea of, I think I'll become a Christian tomorrow. Not at all. God prompts us through his Holy Spirit. Romans 3 tells us that. No one searches after God. It's God who seeks us out. 3, God invites us to get involved in calling people into personal relationship with him. Now it gets a little bit scary. That means, of course, only pastors and those people that are theologically trained, correct? No. God invites each of us to get involved in his kingdom work. Fourthly, God speaks in many ways. Some people hear a voice. Some people, it may be a bit of scripture, like Anna read this morning. Maybe that grabbed your attention, that there's no need for fear. But God speaks in many ways. He speaks through people. He speaks through his word. He'll speak through someone praying. He may even speak through me. He will speak through your pastor. He may speak through your home group leaders. He will speak through circumstance. He may even give you a desire that you don't even know where it comes from, and that's me. People ask me, Rob, why are you in China? I don't know. There was a very old, I'm showing my age here because you know I was born in 49. So there was a song that we used to sing when I was a young Christian. One of the lines was, he just makes me willing to go. And you tell me about Africa, and all due respect to Kenya and all those places over there. I know Africa's over there. That's to the west, is it, roughly? Which way's west? Is that west? That way? People are pointing all directions, okay. Well, I know Africa's over there somewhere, but it frankly doesn't do anything for me. I'd like to visit, but I don't have any sense of call. But you tell me about Asia, you've got my attention, baby. You know, tell me more about it. My stomach is peranakan. And I'm looking forward to maybe having some dim sum and maybe a chendol to finish off lunch today. Maybe a laksa on the way home as a snack, you know. My stomach is Chinese. So I'm an egg Aussie. Mingbai? Okay. Mingbai, okay. Now this is the scary part, number 5. God's invitation means, I'll say it softly, change. Change. Do you know how many Baptists it takes to change a light bulb? Change. Change. Okay. Do you know how many men it takes to change a light bulb? None, because real men aren't afraid of the dark. Okay. But change. I'm talking about change. Now that's a scary word to most of us, change. But that's what I'm talking about. And I think I know that's one of the biggest fears that all of us have, that we might have to change. Number 6, as part of change, we have to change. When God wants to change our circumstances, we have to be willing to change. We have to make adjustments. We have to be willing to change. And number 7, we know God in a deeper, richer, fuller way that we never could without being willing to step out of the boat. Did Peter do something impossible when he stepped out of the boat? Who else has walked on water here? That's what I thought, yeah. I think he got bad press. He actually walked on water. He did something that is humanly impossible. And that's what God is in the business of doing. So what does that mean to us today? Thanks, Dan. Isaiah 43. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, he who formed you, do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you, I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I am with you. Now, when God calls my name, when God calls your name, when God calls my name, we have to do something about that. We have to respond. Firstly, no. Sorry, God, I have my plans. God, I've been telling you. This is what I want you to do for me. God, bless my plans. God, I want to do this, and God, I want to do that. We want God to bless our plans that we can live the life that we want and come on Sunday, have a nice time, and I hope, is there real coffee in this place? Huh? No. Oh, yeah. Sorry? Chinese tea. Okay, Zhongguo cha. Zhongguo cha. Huh? And dim sum. Yeah, okay. Yao tiao? No. Anyway, moving along. We can ignore. We simply want God to bless our plans, do what we want, and thank you, Jesus. We come Sunday, we feel good, we're some nice people. Okay? Got Sunday out the way. God's happy. I want God now to do what I want me to do for the next 6 days. No. We can reject what Jesus says. We don't want any control over, I don't want any of God's control over my life. I come to keep my folks happy, my husband, my wife. I come, basically, I don't want anything to do with what Jesus is calling me to, even though I can hear it. And Xiao Fen is a classic. She has rejected, she has turned her back totally on what God has called her to do. And lastly, thanks, I can choose to doubt Jesus. God's not going to use me. Three of the best years of my life are in year 10. I don't have a university degree. I have no money. I've got crossed eyes. I've got health issues. I've got family issues. I've got career issues. I've got debt. I've got. No, God can't possibly use me. Yep. I'm not good enough for what God wants. But you know, when you know that you're not good enough, that makes you good enough. Because then it's all about God. It's not about you. It's about who God is. And so we come to this crisis of belief. And so I ask you, what is your fear? What is your fear about stepping out and allowing God to do what God wants to do in your life? Maybe you've heard a call. Maybe you think, oh, this message is so good for somebody else, but not for you. But maybe today is for you. So what's your fear? Do you worry about failure? That I go overseas or someplace and I'm going to fall flat on my face. There's going to be so much shame. I'm going to crash and burn. My family are going to get so upset that I stepped out and everyone's told me I'm no good anyway. And so I'm useless. I'm never going to amount to anything. But God calls us to get involved in his work. God calls us to get involved in his work. And he says, don't fear, for I am with you. He will give us what we need to do the work that he calls us to do. What about embarrassment? I can't understand Swahili. It's too difficult to learn Putonghua, all those tones. I can't learn Thai. I can't. And so it's going to fail. It's everything I've ever done before has always failed. I'm just going to be another embarrassment. I'm going to give God a bad reputation. I'm not a good Christian. I don't even know any Bible verses. I can't explain my faith. If someone wants to become a Christian, I've got to call Pastor Richard. How? I don't know enough with all these list of excuses. But God encourages us. It's not about us losing face. It's about giving God glory. And I say truthfully, and hear me when I say this, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing badly. As bad as you think you're going to do it. If it's for God, it's worth doing. For all of us. When I was a young Christian, I went to see my pastor and I said, Bill, there's no night church. You know, there's a lot of young people that I hang around with. They want to come to church at night. They don't get up until late Sunday morning. You know, 10 o'clock's too early for a lot of those people at nightclub and whatever, or play sport or work. What about a night church? You know, you should be doing something about night church. And he said, okay, do it. Not me. No, I've never led a church before in my whole life. But he said, Rob, if you have a vision for it, why don't you go ahead and try? Fail. Okay. So I did. I failed. I started and made mistakes, but the people were very gracious. And I'm standing here now because Pastor Bill believed in me. He gave me an opportunity to fail. I didn't let him down. I failed so many times, but it was about people that were loving me. Go for it, you know. Just go for it. And so I did. And people came to faith. That was the amazing thing. And still are. And if you knew anything about my history, well, yeah, you could stand here and say exactly the same thing. God is amazing. God, if you're simply willing to go, God is going to go with you. God will go ahead of you. Prepare the way. When I was pastoring in Singapore, I got on that flight up to Singapore. I was working in Queenstown. And I got off at Changi Airport and, Jesus, you've got to be with me in this. Otherwise, I'm going to fall flat in my face. And there were some young kids there was a secondary school across the road. And I just hung around them and started talking. And praise God, just within about the first 2 months, I saw a number of kids come to faith. It's almost like they were waiting for me to arrive. And it wasn't about me. They had heard the gospel many times, but I just happened to be the catalyst at the right time and the right place for those people to come to faith. And there, many of them are serving in Queenstown Baptist Church, where I worked on Margaret Drive. Many people all across Singapore and even some overseas now serving God simply because of a willingness to go. Thirdly, what about alteration? I couldn't write change in there because I had to use the A. So, alteration. It's another word for change. It's a sophisticated word that means change. Right? If you put your life in God's hands, you're not going to be the same. You will never be the same again. So I say to you, if you don't like change, never go on a mission trip. Never, ever go on a short-term mission trip, because you will not be the same when you come back. You're going to see life in Perth or wherever you live in a very different way. It's very disturbing. It's very upsetting. And I have led teams to all through Southeast Asia for 20 years or so, more than 20 years, from the mid-80s, 30 years. I must be old. But in every team, there's been at least three or four who are now in full-time Christian work somewhere along the way. A couple who are now in Bulgaria. She was a vet student at Murdoch, top student. She was the Ducks of the veterinarian school at Murdoch. Came with me to Chiang Mai and Chiang Rai. We worked in orphanages there, and Katie said to me, Rob, why am I working with animals when there's so much need with the children? So she threw that all in. That Murdoch got some prerequisites, moved to James Cook University in Townsville, graduated top of her med school in tropical medicine, then did a GP course, and now is in Bulgaria working with disabled young men, you know, in an institution. God does amazing things. So do not go on a short-term trip if you don't like change. And lastly, relocation. God might ask you to move to a place that you don't want to go. I made a deal with God that I would serve him anywhere so long as it was near a beach. Now, my idea of near and God's idea of near are very different, right? So Bahai is about 1,000 kilometers to the east. That's the closest beach to us. But there I am in China. So don't try to tell God what you will or will not do. Our biggest fear is change. Public speaking is probably number one. But number two, I think, very closely followed, is change. We don't like change. We all like being in control. True? But as we call Jesus our Savior, who has saved us, and we call him Lord, we cannot say in the same sentence, Lord, no. Or, no, Lord. He's our Lord. He's our Savior, so we belong to him. He has saved us. He has saved our lives. So our lives are now, I believe, to be given to him, for him to decide where we may go. So I want to encourage you to go with God. Allow him to take the steering wheel. And I like sitting in the front seat. Just turn here, stop here. But God, nah, I've got the steering wheel. I've got the accelerator. I've got the brake. I think I'm one of God's closest advisors. But God always goes where he wants to go. And I'm learning in all these years that it's okay to trust him. But ultimately, God has shown me time and time and time again that he is faithful, he can be relied on. He is a God who loves us, who wants the best for us, because he's our Father. We're his much-loved children. He cannot love us any more than he did at Calvary. That's how wide it is. My sons, when they were little, Daddy, how much do you love us? I love you this much. But that's Jesus as well. Right? That's how much God loves us. He cannot love us more than he does right now. And so knowing that, where is our fear? Perfect love casts out fear. So who am I? Thanks, next one. Who am I? What do I have to offer? Well, Pam and I, to the lady that came down to Wenshan to actually set up the orphanage, closing the orphanage down to set up this foster children program. Now that we have that rehab center running and we have a relationship with the orphanage is still running basically because some people there are making too much money from the government to close it. But we are certainly seeing some children being fostered, some children being adopted out. But the rehab center is pumping, it's going really well. So we're thinking, what else do we do now? And so people will always stop us in the street. Do you teach English? Will you please teach me? Will you teach my son? Will you teach my daughter? So we thought we would start an English language school, which is a great idea at the time, but we didn't know how we were going to do that. But we decided that we would do an ESL course. So we've all done ESL training. A Canadian couple were moving from our city. They said, would you like to buy our company, which was an English training center, which we did. So we had a company, we had the training, we didn't have a place. And Pam, who I work with, who's my business partner, she's a children's worker in her church from San Diego. I was a pastor, some training in architecture, we didn't really have the skills for a training center, but we thought this is an opportunity we cannot say no to. So we said yes. So we bought the company. We changed the name to The Starting Line. You can have a look on the website, startingline.org. Thank you. and Bless China is blesschina.org. And so Pam was back in San Diego speaking at her church, and a Chinese uncle from Taiwan came up to Pam and said, "Pam, I believe you have a dream. Tell me about it." The long story short, he flew to Wenshan. He looked at this building, the second floor of an office complex, and he said, "Yeah, I like it." So the following Thursday, after Sunday, his secretary came with $250,000 in cash and said, "I will buy it for you, and you have the title, you have the deed, title deed, and you pay me back over the next 30 years. Wow. So we set to work, and here are the renovations. This is the plan and the classrooms. As you can see, this is a 50 square meter kitchen. We've cut, actually, this was a big island bench, but now we've got two island benches, one here, one here. We want to teach people so when they come to the center, it's not just learning language, but it's actually a cultural center, cross-cultural center. So if any of you have a gift of cooking, then please come up. I'll have to do a test first, of course. We don't leave until the end of February after Chunjie. So there's 3 months that you can practice your cooking and see if you qualify or not to come up. But we want it to be a center. So we have over here a media room. Our plan is that you might come and it'll be a Britain Day. So we're going to show a British movie. Then you'll come into the kitchen and we'll make pie and chips. Or we might have a Singapore Day. We'll have laksa and char kway teow, yau teow. We won't have durian because I'm a Christian. God said to Adam and Eve, "Stay away from that tree." That was definitely a durian tree. And the next slide, this is now the foyer. We didn't want it to look like a school because we are targeting business people. We're targeting adults. We're targeting people who actually want to learn to speak English. When you saw the video, you would have seen there's some Audi and BMWs. There's a number of Porsches in our town. People are getting seriously wealthy. Xi Jinping has done a number of good things in China. One of those is opening the doors so people now can travel freely. They don't have to travel in a group. So Henry, my best local friend, he and his wife and son last year drove through Italy and France for a holiday. We prepared them for traveling with English explaining. Forks go on this side, knives go on that side. You start from the outside and move in. Just simple things that they weren't aware of. Now, Henry is a very wealthy man. I'm sorry, but I have to use this example just to give you a sort of some understanding. But women, you don't have to say to your husband, you know, "Listen, did you hear that?" Right? But Henry, for his wife's 40th birthday, bought her a 5 Series BMW. You have a problem with obedience because I said don't do that. But that's the kind of culture that we're living in, right? That there's some serious wealth and people are now wanting to travel. And so our school is targeting business people. So we wanted something back one, Dan. Sorry, you're too fast, mate. I'm a bit slow. So here is the foyer. So we wanted people, when they walked in, they could see Chi Pao Xian. That's the name of our school, the starting line. It's red leather couches. It looks classy, and I say that humbly as an architect and designer. I'm very happy with what local people have done for us to make this as it is. And so thanks. Every summer, July, August, we run language camps. We would love any of you to come up. You don't have to be a teacher to get involved with these language camps. The young kids and adults that come simply want to meet Westerners who can speak English and help them understand. And so when we had two teams come up, one from Perth and one from Hawaii, and we used the Bible as the basis of our lessons during the week. And so we did a whole week on the life of Joseph, from being shafted by his brothers to the fact of forgiving and reconciling with his family, which speaks powerfully to Chinese people about forgiveness and reconciliation, because it's not very popular, those two words in Chinese culture, to forgive and to reconcile. And so it brought a number of those people to tears, and two of the people in that photograph came to faith just last couple of months ago. So I invite you to come if you'd like to come late July through till the end of August. We'll be running camps for about 6 weeks next year, and we would love for you to be a part of that. I come to my close. Thanks, Dan. God is with us. Thank you. Next one. Who God is all important. Next one. God calls us to the cross. And so I finish with a challenge to you. Maybe God called you sometime in the past and you made a commitment to him and you've got selective deafness. You don't want to hear that call anymore. You made a deal with God and somehow self-inflicted amnesia set in. Well, I believe God has called me here to jog your memory and for you to think about, yeah, I did make that commitment and yeah, maybe I'll do something about it. Well, maybe today is maybe day. Maybe you don't know what it is, but you want to make a commitment to God. You say, yeah, God, you've got my heart. I need to do something about this. I've got the qualifications, but my life is empty. There's got to be more than me just making quid dollars and dollars and filling up my bank account and having all these toys around, and my life is just so busy, I just keep losing sight of the light. Maybe that's you today. I want to do one thing, one simple thing. I don't know what Pastor Richard's going to do as he leads us in ministry time now, but if that's you, if you did make a commitment some time back and there has been some amnesia and you've tried to negotiate with God and God brought me along to shake you a bit today to think about that, or maybe you've been thinking about somehow I want to get more involved in God's work, whether that's here in Perth. You can serve God very effectively here in Perth, believe me. Or whether that's overseas, even maybe in southwest China with us. I want you to do one thing, and just I'm going to do it only once. And I ask you now to please stand where you are, if that's you. And I'm going to pray. So if God's speaking to you today, I ask you simply where you are. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. Just stand where you are. Thank you. While I pray, please stand if that's you. Father God, I thank you that you've called each of us into relationship with you. Lord, who are we? As David says in Psalm 8, who are we that you care so much for us? Who are we that you love us so much that you sent your only Son? But we thank you, Lord, that you called us into relationship with you. And this priceless joy that we have, Lord, this truth that sets people free, Lord, you called us to the cross that we might be set free. You call the humble and raise them high. Lord, I pray that you humble us before you as we bow our heads. Speak to us. Lead us to that place, Lord, that we be the people that you want us to be. I pray for my brothers and sisters that have stood this morning. Lord, that you would anoint them and fill them fresh with your Holy Spirit. I pray that you give them a boldness and courage to follow through on their commitment. To speak to Pastor Richard, to speak to the leadership of this church, speak to others who know them that are sitting around them, that, Lord, they choose to be accountable for their commitment today to you and to my brothers and sisters here, our family of faith here at First Light. Lord, I pray your blessing over Pastor Richard and Joanna, his family, the leadership of this church. I thank you for the joy that is here. I thank you for the spirit that is here. Lord, I pray that you bring your spirit here, push down and running over, pouring freely through this place. In Jesus' name, amen.